Welcome to Bible and Bourbon with Pastor Ben. It is a blessing to be with you here. Today we are discussing the Gospel of Matthew. We have spent the last year plus studying this one book, and today we're not going to study any scripture in particular, but instead we will look at the book as a whole. I have an old-fashioned here today made with Four Roses bourbon. It is very sippable, and I love my go-to old-fashions just because it's something easy. And as we are diving into an entire book today, I figured that I should have something simple so we don't have to think about the bourbon as much as we get to think about the Bible. Our prayer request this week is another joy. One of our listeners just purchased a condo, so they are into the realm of home ownership, so we can share that joy with them here as a community. Now, let us start our study with a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the last year, allowing us to study your holy scripture, diving into the book of Matthew, and uncovering what it has to offer by the Spirit. Amen. As I said, there is no scripture reading for today, and we are just going to talk about the Gospel of Matthew. I was not expecting 50-plus episodes when I began this topic, but I guess I should have realized it would be at least this long, judging by the number of chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. And I have to say, it's been a wonderful experience to really dive into this book, spending over a year studying what makes the Gospel of Matthew so special. Because each book in the Bible is special and unique in their own way. They are all inspired by God, but they are written by different people, and they are used in certain ways to reveal and to speak about different aspects of our faith. We see that particularly in the Gospels. Each Gospel reveals something different about the life of Christ and his ministry. If that wasn't the case, then, well, we'd just have one Gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, the Holy Spirit sought to reveal itself in different ways, with different voices, so that we could have a complete picture of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And whenever we examine any book in the Bible, it is important for us to look at the history and the context around it. And that is even more true when we examine the Gospel of Matthew, because repeatedly, the author makes comments back to the Old Testament about the people and about what they have been through. And that is important for the author of Matthew, because it seems as if he was writing primarily for a Jewish audience, people who knew the importance of the Hebrew Bible. And often, scripture from the Old Testament is used specifically to show and reveal something of the nature of Christ by showing how he was fulfilling the messianic prophecies that were held within those scriptures. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus isn't just a great person who can perform miraculous acts. He's not just a healer or another holy man. He is a rabbi in the classical sense, a teacher, one who instructs his followers. He is also the prophesied Messiah, fulfilling what was spoken about in the past. His teachings aren't necessarily new. They are not different than the Old Testament, but they are fulfillment of that scripture. And this would have resonated with those early readers who were part of a Jewish community looking for someone to do just that. They were expecting the Messiah to fulfill the prophecies that came before him. But it's not just people in the past who can connect with the Gospel of Matthew in this way, because the Spirit still speaks through the Gospel to us in a similar fashion. I think it helps us to recognize the importance of the Old Testament, something that Christians sometimes just glance over. which is understandable. I mean, the Old Testament is significantly longer than the New Testament. And I'd be lying to you if I told you that sections of it weren't a bit, well, dull. It's hard to read Leviticus or Numbers. They're a bit more of a slog than when you compare it to the Gospel of Mark, which is short and action-packed. But just because we call it the Old Testament doesn't mean that we should just disregard it. In fact, Jesus never called it the Old Testament. In fact, none of the early church figures ever referred to the Old Testament as the Old Testament. For them, it was Scripture. I think something that we often forget is that the Bible we hold in our hands today was not present in the early church. Many churches, for over a century after the resurrection of Christ, did not hold copies of all of the letters or books of what we would call the New Testament. Sometimes they would have a few letters of Paul or a letter of Peter or one gospel or another, but many churches wouldn't have a complete set of the books that we have in the New Testament. And in fact, the concept of a New Testament wasn't something that was really formed until the 300s AD. The canon of books that we hold in the New Testament wasn't set as canon until the late 300s. Up until that point, many books were seen as part of the New Testament or something else entirely. For many early Christians, Scripture was the Old Testament, while what we consider the New Testament were letters of instruction. They were important, and they may have viewed them with Scripture-like qualities, but they wouldn't have referred to those letters as Scripture. That was something they only used to refer to the Old Testament. And in fact, many Christians never even read any of these letters, especially Christians before 100 AD. Many of them were Christians before these letters were widely circulated. And in fact, there were many Christians for over a decade after the resurrection of Christ that never even had any of these letters in their churches because they weren't written yet. For over a decade, there were Christian churches without one letter written in the New Testament. For them, Scripture was what we consider the old. But I have to imagine that Isaiah and Jeremiah, when they were writing their books, didn't view their books as Scripture either. They wrote them because they were inspired by God to write them down, but for them, Scripture was probably the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. It's only later as people read them and they see the divine inspiration behind them that they realize that they are Scripture too. And that's what happened with the New Testament. When Paul writes these letters, he's writing them as letters of instruction, and when the Gospels are being written, they are written as letters of instruction, but then as people read them, they feel the Holy Spirit contained in their pages. In fact, it's interesting. When Paul writes in his letters that Scripture is without error, he is not referring to the New Testament at all, because most of the New Testament hadn't been written yet. Instead, he is saying that the Old Testament, that Scripture, is the Scripture that is without error. But yet, as modern Christians, we just glance over them. Even though people like Paul or Jesus would have held those Scriptures in high regard, we have them playing second fiddle to the New Testament. Now, it's without a doubt that the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old. It fulfills the Old Testament in its entirety, but that doesn't mean that the Old Testament is useless. It doesn't mean that the patriarchs, the prophets, the books of wisdom are obsolete. And that's not what the Gospel of Matthew is advocating. The Gospel of Matthew advocates for an understanding of the Old Testament as the only way to truly understand the life of Christ. God's plan was present in the beginning, in the Old Testament and in the New. It is one singular motion. Now, I'm not advocating that you follow every law in the Old Testament. Those laws have come to fulfillment in Christ, and Matthew isn't advocating that either. But in order to understand Jesus' message, we have to understand what he was building upon, what came before him. And hopefully, in this study, you've kind of found a way to do that. By reading the Gospel of Matthew, we've also brought in other scriptures. We've looked at the history of Jews throughout time, the history of the Roman Empire, the society in which this gospel was written. We've seen the Bible not as one singular book, but in many ways as a library. A library with many books held inside. Each one an individual book held neatly and compactly within itself, but also influenced by the books around it. Set in one series, talking about one God, but in unique ways. Because each of the Gospels adds its own certain element to the life of Christ. Matthew doesn't present the life of Christ in the exact same way that Mark does, or Luke, or definitely not John. Each Gospel has its own style and themes, revealing one true purpose. And it's something that I hope that you continue through your studies, seeing each book as part of one divine truth, but approached in its own unique ways. Next week, we are going to start our thematic study on Christian purpose, God's purpose in your life. And in that study, we're not going to look at just one book, but we're going to look at the Bible as a whole. This is something that I think would be useful for us as Christians, to see how themes arc across Scripture, from the Old to the New. And we're going to be examining various biblical figures, patriarchs, judges, prophets, and of course, the Messiah and the apostles, seeing how their purpose is influenced by God and how it can be built into something in our own lives. The study is going to be more conversational than some of the studies I've done in the past, more like the sermons that I preach in my church. But I guarantee you that you will get information about the scriptures that you may not know, something that might spark your interest in studying something further. Because that's what this podcast is all about, igniting a spark in your heart that engages you and wants you to learn more about Jesus. As always, I'd like to thank you for listening today. And if you have any questions or prayer requests, please email me at BiblePeriodBurp@gmail.com. And while it's true that Jesus drank wine in occasional glass is different than an addiction, if you need help, please seek it. If you need help but don't know where to look, please reach out and I'd be happy to guide you. Blessings, everyone.